From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, this is Alan Cairn speaking to you from Greenville, South Carolina, to bring you another Let the Bible Speak program. Currently, we're studying the Ten Commandments and have reached the Fifth Commandment. Thus far, we have considered the commandment as it touches on the duty of parents, but its primary and most obvious application has regard to the duties of children, and that's the subject of today's study. So, stay with us. The latest issue of our quarterly magazine is available, and we'd like you to join our mailing list. The magazine is distributed freely to those who ask for it, so I hope you'll become a regular reader. This issue is one you won't want to miss. It deals with some of the great moral issues that confront the church and the people of God today. Matters like abortion, euthanasia, homosexuality, etc. It has a vibrant missionary page and a feature article on the life and ministry of a young Christian physician in Northern Ireland. Also available is our monthly Let the Bible Speak tape, or CD, that brings you a combination of music, brief devotional and instructional messages, and personal testimonies of the gospel at work. You may have the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine and the Let the Bible Speak monthly tape or CD by writing or calling us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. According to William Dembski, one of the leaders of the intelligent design movement, the debate over Darwinian evolution won't last too long. It's over, and evolution is on its last legs. He predicts that in a decade, Darwin's theory will be pronounced dead. As you would expect, evolutionists are crying absurd. According to them, intelligent design is not science, and Dembski is whistling in the dark. We'll see. Personally, I think Dembski's dead wrong. I don't think evolution is in any danger of being pronounced dead. Not because it has any merit, but because ungodly men are going to wax worse and worse, and they will do anything rather than admit the role of their creator. To do so would not only invalidate their scientific ideas, it would impact their moral philosophy. Quite simply, it would demand their submission to divine authority in their lives. Given the natural depravity of man, there's no way evolutionists are going to admit defeat. As an associate biology professor at Kentucky University put it, it's the driving force, it's the foundation of all biology. Natural science and evolution theory are getting stronger and stronger. That doesn't mean that Dembski has not analyzed the weakness of the theory correctly. He has. With PhDs in mathematics and philosophy, Dembski is well placed to critique much of what passes for scientific fact, but, as we saw yesterday, is really science fiction. It's interesting that while Dembski and other critics of evolution expose the scientific impossibilities inherent in Darwinism, evolutionists have come more and more to rely on court opinion to block the introduction of students to the possibility that the universe may not be the product of random evolution, but of an intelligent designer. By labeling such a view as creationism, and therefore a religious doctrine, judges and evolutionists hope to maintain Darwin's stranglehold on access to the minds of the young. However, as Dembski said, evolution is, quotes, viscerally unacceptable to most Americans. That is, they have a gut reaction against it. They are more and more willing to listen to critiques of Darwinism. They are more and more open to receive the message that they are creatures, not accidents. And in this arena of public opinion, evolution can be defeated, but it won't be easy. Evolutionists recognize their weakness in the public arena, hence their all-out attack on any notion of an intelligent designer and their willingness to trash the academic or scientific credentials of anyone who dares to question their theory. When evolutionists can, with a straight face, tell the world that Penn State's emeritus professor of biochemistry knows little or no biology, just because he has exposed Darwinism as an impossible and unnecessary theory, you know that they're feeling the heat. So we need to keep up that heat. We need to keep the debate out in the open and refuse evolutionists the anonymity they have too long enjoyed, an anonymity that has given them a cloak to brainwash and debase the youth of this country. Scientists and educators who recognize the shortcomings of evolution must make their voices heard, and we must seek to ensure that Darwin's devoted followers cease having the right to impose their secular religion on the educational system so as to exclude their critics from positions of influence in schools and universities. Evolution may be on its last legs, but it will kick hard to retain its monopoly of access to young minds in our schools. That is, if we're weak or foolish enough to allow it.
Thank you.
Today, in studying the fifth commandment, we will show that as children seek to obey their parents, especially in difficult situations, they have as their perfect example the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's hear God's word.
Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 that this is a mark that will become increasingly prevalent in the last days. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Can I say that that is the cause of so many sins? Lovers of their own selves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Now this lets us see what disrespect for parents really is. It's inherently pagan. It is part of a mindset that is anti-God and anti-Christ. And it calls for and will undoubtedly receive the judgment of a holy God. For in Romans 1:32, we read, they which commit such things are worthy of death. Now in contrast to that, the Lord says, honor thy father and thy mother. Honor them. Give due weight. Give such grateful love, respect, and obedience to your parents as the Scriptures command. Let me try to go through this in a very simple way. While you're young, almost unquestioningly, I say almost because there will always be cases, and we'll touch upon them later, where particularly ungodly parents will command things that are clearly in opposition to the moral law of God. And there a child should disobey. But we will come to that in due course. Almost unquestioningly, while you are young, when God says honor, He means with gratitude. Can I say that that must never be absent? Never be absent. Gratitude to the parents who brought you into the world, who have nurtured you, cared for you, provided food and shelter, and whatever their deficiencies, which may be real or imagined on your part, they have done a work for you without which you would not be here. So with gratitude, show them love and respect and obedience. Learn well from them the law of God and the gospel of God. Learn well from them the wisdom of the word of God. You remember in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, we read, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Similarly, at the beginning of the 7th chapter, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. My law is the apple of thine eyes. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. That's what the Bible commands children to do. To honor by paying respectful, obedient, submissive attention to the teaching of those parents from the Word of God. And then continue to give due weight to their advice, even when you are an adult. I realize the Bible says when a person marries, that man leaves his father and his mother. It is a foolish father and a foolish mother that wants to hold on to grown-up children to keep them little ones for the rest of their lives. It is a wise set of parents who will learn how to lengthen, as it were, the apron strings and then finally cut them to let those young people make the decisions they must make in good conscience and in the light of the Word of God. But those young people must never forget they are still their parents' children. And they must give always the weight of honor to those parents. They must pay attention to the well-meant advice that those parents give. Sometimes it's difficult for young people who grew up to be better educated than their parents. They learn things their parents never knew. And very often with a little bit of education, they look down a long snooty nose at their less educated parents and think, well now, I know so much more than they. The truth of the matter is, all you've ever got to know is a little bit of fluff out of a textbook. You don't know much about life at all yet. The old father and mother, who maybe haven't been to school as you have been, have forgotten more in any one night's sleep than you've ever known about life. And you would do well to pay attention. Even adult children should not fail to honor their parents and then support and relieve them in their old age, something we'll return to a little later. Now that's the precept. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now we know that many children balk at that. Perhaps even some of you. You're kicking at it. You know the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. You know that by it means your respectful submission. And yet, you balk at it. Now, there are various reasons for that. Sometimes the reason is all in the child, in the young person. Sometimes it's just your own sin and your own hard-headedness and your own hard-heartedness. We also know that there are times when parents show less than the best common sense. The one thing you find about common sense, the longer you live, the more you find it, is that common sense is not all that common. It's very rare, in fact. Many parents show little sense, little knowledge of their responsibility. They show little biblical wisdom or insight. Worse, at times, some parents are not at all honorable. Sometimes they're difficult to respect. And so, there are problems very often on both sides, and the conflicts are there. But the precept still holds good. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's the precept. Thankfully, the Lord also gives us a perfect pattern of keeping that precept in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and verse 51, I read of the Savior that He went down with them, that is with Mary and Joseph, and He came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Now, to be subject unto them, He had to place Himself under them. The word subject is a very simple word. It's not always a good idea to think you can get the meaning of a word simply by the parts that go to compose it, but in this case it gives us a fair insight. The word subject is made up of two Latin words. One is sub, meaning under. The other is iaceo, which means to cast or throw. And there you've got what a subject is. Someone who is cast under another, who is placed under another. The Lord Jesus became subject unto them. That means that He had to accept their instruction, receive their provision, and indeed the discipline of their home. Now that's what it means to honor. Now consider this, the Lord Jesus was truly the Son of Mary, but He was also the Son of God, and at times that involved a conflict. In the second chapter of Luke, for example, we read of Mary and Joseph and the Lord Jesus going up to the temple in Jerusalem when He was about 12 years old. They go up, and the Lord Jesus there stood around and talked with the doctors of the law. Mary and Joseph, supposing that he'd been in their party, made their way in the first stage toward home, only to find he wasn't there. We know how Mary turned back and she upbraided the Lord Jesus. Gently, but nonetheless, there is grief, there is disappointment there, there is criticism there. Now think of this. His heavenly Father led the Savior to remain in the temple. He called it my Father's business. So his heavenly Father led him to remain in the temple. His earthly mother expected him to follow on. She didn't take time to make sure he was there, but she expected him to make sure he was there. And she was grieved at him when he wasn't there. And the more she thought of her own failure to go around and check, the more she loaded the blame onto him. We all know that parents at times can be very, very adept at doing that. That when they feel their own failure has led to a situation in the home, they then load more of the guilt and more of the blame onto the young person. Well, Mary tried that. So there was a conflict here. What the will of God was and what the will of his parents on earth was. And yet we read following that, he was subject unto them. In other words, as far as was consonant with obedience to God, the Lord Jesus fully obeyed his earthly parents. And I tell you, that is a very good rule for us. As far as is consonant with obedience to God, we should seek to obey our parents. That's what Paul means when he says, obey your parents in the Lord. Your obedience to God is overarching. It is that which dictates your attitude to everything else. But in keeping with that obedience, he says, obey your parents and look at the example that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.